Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I am so excited because I have a fabulous guest today on my Diva Strategies for Success radio show. This is Robbie Motter, your host. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Lauren Hunter, LMFPATR, is an award-winning art therapist and international speaker. She received an honorary doctorate in humanitarianism for many years of service helping children. She actively volunteers in her community, maintains a private practice, and works at Cedars-Sinai Medical Hospital. As a mental health supervisor with the Share and Care program, she facilitates art therapy groups for students, grades K through 12 in Los Angeles schools. In addition to working with children, Lauren has been instrumental in creating curriculum for parent workshops and teachers training. Hunter has been a member of GSFE, the Global Society of Female Entrepreneurs, and director for Young Ladies Youth Network. The goal for youth leadership program is to help middle and high school girls become active members in their community, college-bound, and learn key life skills. The GSFE Youth Network promotes leadership, community service, and teaching a business mindset. As founding director of Hunter Therapy Family Counseling, Lauren uses a variety of creative therapeutic approaches with private clients. As a collaborative therapist, her goal with clients is to integrate art therapy conversation to offer powerful ways to provide personal insight and emotional well-being. Her volunteer work, Lauren Hunter has been an adjunct faculty member at Allianz International University, Antioch University, and Phillips Graduate Institute teaching for their Marriage and Family Therapy, MFT, graduate doctoral program. You can reach her at huntertherapy@gmail.com. Welcome, Lauren. How are you today?
Hi, Robbie. I'm doing really good. I'm kind of excited to be here with you today. And I've heard so many great things about the show. I've listened so many times. I'm glad to be a part of it now.
First one is, what is art therapy? I'm not really clear about that.
So art therapy is a really exciting kind of therapeutic tool that utilizes neuroscience and the brain along with traditional therapeutic approaches. So, you know, a lot of times talk therapy, there's a variety of theories that can go along with it. However, art therapy is more of like releasing energy while we also can link both hemispheres. So what can happen sometimes is that with trauma or emotional big feelings such as grief, loss, divorce, anxiety, depression, our emotional memory has no concept of time and space, and it's stored within the right brain where art, dance, and music is stored. Language and sequencing, cause and effect, that's stored on the left side of the brain. So what art therapy can do is that it links the two hemispheres together by creating like an autobiographical story by using art, dance, or music. Anything creative really can be wrapped into expressive therapies. And there's two types of art therapy. There's process art, which is when we just need to get some energy out of the body, and you might just like grab a marker and scream on paper and scribble, 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 or rip it up and throw it away. And then you actually have that cathartic feel when you're letting it go. We can actually like utilize it within our talk therapy and sit down and draw a circle and put all the things that are worrying you in it, or really give more intention to create dialogue to go along with it, linking the two hemispheres together. But it's fun. I mean, it's more of a playful way of getting to the root of problems versus, you know, many years of just talking about it.
Wow, that's great. So what brought you to becoming an art therapist?
Well, it was a journey. So I started off as a nursing student, and I was always getting in trouble for talking to my patients too long. And I was really drawn to psychology and the study of social behaviors and why people do what they do. And then after I graduated, I started in a special education, it was like mixed first, second, third grade class in New York. And I was just amazed by, I would ask them to draw like a pumpkin for Halloween or a Christmas tree or, you know, just different basic things throughout the year. And I would see that each child would draw something different. And depending on what their IEP, which is their educational plan or whatever was going on within their little families or their little child, I could see it in the art. So there was something that I intuitively already had. And then I eventually moved to California, and I discovered an art therapy program for my master's, which was linking the neuroscience and understanding the brain, and I fell in love with it, and I ended up getting my license in marriage and family therapy and art therapy, and now I've been practicing for about 15 years, and just truly my bliss. It's really one of those things where I never know what exactly is going to be expressed or what's going to happen within the art. It really does come from that individual person or child. And then I just go with it and see where the healing starts. So it's been a journey, but
well,
I'm an artist myself. Yeah, so kind of linking psychology and art together became my greatest happiness, I guess.
So how does art therapy help people work trauma, stress, and process feelings?
Well, it's really, again, going back to that emotional memory has no concept of time and space. So if you think about it, if we have a traumatic experience, it's almost going to be like a flashbulb memory within our brain, depending on the amount of senses. So we have five senses, and if we have one sense like seeing, hearing, taste, touch, all of that, the memory might not be as strong. But when we have trauma, a lot of times all five senses are stimulated, and so that it's a very powerful memory within our brain. The key thing is we want to make sure when we're talking about trauma, let's explore trust and developing the relationship before, and then also exploring when did we feel safe before the trauma, when did we feel safe after the trauma, and we might draw things or talk about things about that, but you don't go right to the trauma right away, because sometimes you can re-traumatize with art if you're not aware of it. So the key thing is letting your body release whatever it needs to release. There's no right or wrong way to be creative. So I really see it as no matter what your issue is, your body's holding it. It's, you know, when we get sick or we have certain illnesses or certain pains or back pains or shoulder pains, that's where we're holding our tension. So if we can identify that it's within our body, then the art is going to create a release of frequency. Same thing with music. Like if we're ever we need to change our mood, one of the best ways to do it is putting music on. And that can alter the frequency within our bodies with the alpha waves and the radio waves. So just remembering that everything is movement. So when we get stuck in trauma or there's so many big feelings that feel like we can't control them that almost create like that panic attack, and that's the thing that's really interesting, too, with the art, is that your body responds to, am I safe or am I in danger? It's automatic. You have no choice about it. It just happens. And if you've had a lot of trauma, your body is going to be used to that. So it's a heightened state of arousal where you're going to be flooded with cortisol and adrenaline. So that's going to be maybe your normal state if you have a lot of trauma. But if you can learn how to breathe and calm your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the calm part of your brain, by doing art. One of the greatest things is like coloring books, like people who feel like they don't know how to, you know, draw or create or, oh, I draw like a child. If you just get a simple coloring book, then you're creating that mindful activity, turning on that calm part of your brain, and you're releasing the energy that's feeling uncomfortable in your body. I don't know, does that make sense, Robbie? I mean, there's a lot there, but it's kind of figuring out how to release the trauma from the body, get it onto the paper, get it onto an instrument, get it onto a dance floor. Like however we need to move that energy, we'll get the trauma out of the body.
That's great. Tell me a little bit about the work you have done with Cedars-Sinai Medical Hospital for the last 15 years.
Well, this was such a really amazing program that I got to be a part of. Suzanne Silverstein is the founding director of Share and Care, and it's we've just celebrated our 43rd anniversary, which is exciting. But her passion, and she's gotten a whole bunch of different counselors, and we've got 30 schools in Los Angeles as we've grown. We go into LAUSD, and we run art therapy groups for children who have a variety of traumatic stuff. So we've got, you know, the kids that are dealing with ADHD and really having a hard time, behavior management within class. We've got different curriculums for divorce, anger management, grief and loss, incarceration, immigration. I mean, over the years, we have been faced with so many different things that our schools have had to deal with and manage. And so we've created curriculums over the years for what our schools need, what our parents need. And as we've evolved, we've also created parent workshops, teacher PDs, mostly on self-care, how to help your child manage their feelings, how to communicate with your child. So every school is a little bit different, and they have their own Share and Care counselor, and that counselor then provides what that particular school needs. And what's fantastic is this program is completely funded through Cedars-Sinai Medical Hospital, and it allows us to get out into the community and really service the children as much as we can. I mean, it's really amazing. I love being a part of it. And now, over the years, I've become a supervisor. So I am overseeing 4 schools and some future MST therapists who are associates right now, and just really helping kids navigate that social-emotional learning. One of the biggest troubles we had with COVID and the pandemic was how do we provide our program online? How do you do art therapy online? How do you do group therapy, bringing like 5 third graders together online? But we did it. We adapted. We figured out how to do it. And what's so fascinating now is now that we're back, every child needs Share and Care. Every child needs a little bit of time and space where they can talk about their feelings, talk about what happened. So it's really becoming something that everybody needs, not just children, but also adults. The parents joke that they need Share and Care as well. So I'm very proud to be a part of this program, and it really has inspired my private practice over the years and kind of taking what I've learned and adapting it a little bit in to each child, each family, each client.
So I guess with COVID and everything, there were the pandemic and COVID, there were a lot of changes that even the kids had to face. So they needed you even more, right?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting. The biggest thing, and I know I felt it as well, but it, what was called Zoom fatigue. You know, after being on the computer for so many times, kids are meant to run around. Kids are supposed to be bouncy. The thing that was the most interesting that occurred with, if you think about child development, and this is what I'm going to be looking out for the future, kindergarten, first, and second grade. The most important part about school for their brain development is social skills. How do I get in line? How do I interact with other kids? How do I share with toys? How do I leave mom and dad at the door, the social anxiety? So those fundamental life skills didn't actually get introduced into these children. And what was so fascinating to all the teachers and kind of counselors when we came back, third grade, these kids were really struggling on many, many levels, more than just making friends, but they had another kind of anxiety that we hadn't seen within children. So teachers had to adapt to teaching on Zoom, and how do we do that, and learning technology. I think the whole world had to figure out how to turn off your mute button. I mean, there were so many levels that I think we all had to adapt within COVID, plus we're still learning how to do it. But I have to tell you, there were a lot of great things with COVID too, because now, for example, we used to host these principal meetings, and we might be able to get principals, maybe 5, maybe they would send their AP or a representative from the school, but it was hard to kind of travel around Los Angeles at certain hours, as you know, with traffic. But now what we've done is we've created a, you know, every couple months we do a principal's meeting, and we'll get up to 20, 30 principals. During COVID, we got up to 60 principals. That was amazing. So I'm very much embracing technology because we can then provide another level of service that we maybe weren't able to do before trying to be in person. I know, Robbie, we've also experienced that with the GSFE, like just having Zoom meetings and being able to have meet with our sister GSFE sisters, you know, when we couldn't connect, because that connection is important when you're in person.
That's true. What inspired you to open a play art studio in Santa Monica for children and families?
Well, this has kind of always been my dream since graduate school. So I won a raffle. This is kind of a funny story. I won a raffle when I was in graduate school with, like, it was like a week of different agencies, and people came in and they were kind of telling us what they did. And it was for play therapy, sand tray therapy. And I was like, well, this is interesting. So I went and I did it, and it was I walked into this room full of, like, bookshelves full of, like, figurines and toys and sand trays and stuffed animals. And I was like, I've never seen anything like this before. And I personally have been in therapy for about a year and a half, because you need to become a therapist. And I went in and I did, like, two trays. I spent an entire day with this woman, and I got this training. It was a workshop. I had solved, I guess if that's what you could say, some, like, major life family stuff with my parents, you know, and I understood through multiple trays. I went back to my therapist with the pictures, and I was like, we just sat here for 2 years talking about this, and I just got my answers in 15 minutes. So that, to me, was the beginning of the dream. And, you know, I had to evolve as a, I had to get licensed. I had to, you know, eventually be able to even afford the private practice. But what it's done is now I feel like I'm really excited. So I've created a play studio where I do sand tray, I do music, I have drums and a variety of different instruments. I have, like, a little park in Santa Monica, which is kind of fun. So I have different sports and different bowls and stuff. Whatever a child needs, I've literally created it. Even if they tell me they like something, like I just made slime with a kid for the first time, and it was the most fun session while she was talking about, you know, bullies at school, and we're learning how to put glue and glitter together and make this this substance, and then we put it in balls and made stress balls. I mean, it's one of those fun moments where, like, I have another student, she's very, very athletic, and I got this, you know, she didn't like anything that I had to offer. And then one day she opened a drawer and she found my jewelry collection. And now for the last 6 months, we've been making jewelry while we talk about life and family and skills. So the play studio for me has really been a collection over the years. I've been collecting art supplies. I've been collecting toys. And now for the last 3 years, I've really been able to have a space and create my dream play art studio for all the levels of expressive therapy, for every child, every family, that, and even just essential oils now, aromatherapy. I have this one little kid who fell in love with my diffuser. So now I'm going to kind of work a little bit with that. So it's being flexible, but the play studio allows me to tap into every form of creativity to allow for healing. And that's what's exciting to see it grow.
That's good. With your experience working with adolescents, what inspired you to start the Youth GSFE Network?
So, yeah, teenagers are difficult on many levels, but they really just need to have a safe place to talk about stuff. And what I was discovering was misinformation from social media. They would come into my group, and it would tell me certain things, and I'd be like, well, that's not really true. I haven't heard of that. Well, I mean, well, how would you do this? So then I realized I really started to have to teach life skills versus how do you manage your anger? Like, what? How do you apply for a job? How do you show up for a job? What is actually a professional photo versus, like, a selfie? that's one thing I've had fun with my members. I've had to, what is a bio? How do you describe yourself? So these are, like, some little fundamental things that I realize no one's teaching our teenagers. You know, we used to have home ec or, you know, different things that you would learn how to balance a budget. So I realized this, and then my stepdaughter started to apply for college, and I was thinking, I was like, we've got to incorporate volunteer hours, like a couple years before she was a senior. and how can we give back to the community? And that's really, you know, Robbie, you know, you've been asking me to do something for our young ladies or our young generation. And so I got inspired, and, you know, Taylor helped me have a purpose and, you know, give me more reason to want to do it. And then it was so beautiful how more teenagers started coming. We were on Zoom at the time because we were COVID, and they kept asking for in-person. How could we do an in-person? And so we've now created but really, I take what they ask for. You know, the girls are, our youngest is 13, and now she's the director of our Riverside. We've got two young ladies in Connecticut who are going to start their own group. So I've kind of just, again, my therapeutic space, holding that hour on Zoom, who comes and what are we going to talk about? So every month it's a different topic. I could grab another GSFB member and, you know, on marketing, etiquette, or how to stay organized with school. So whatever the kids ask me for, public speaking, I'll find a speaker. And I just really want to give them the opportunity to hear information that they might not be hearing at school or in other areas of their community.
What has the network done in the first year?
So the first year was kind of, we were trying to find our groove. And like I said, we were on Zoom. So every month we were meeting on Zoom and we'd have a different speaker. And then we, many years ago, had been a part of a woman's clothing swap. And I was so excited when you saw like all the amount of clothes that we were able to donate at the end of all of us kind of trying on clothes and having a day of fun. So I suggested this to Taylor, if this was something she wanted to host as a volunteer project. She could get her community service for her high school, and then we could also give back to our community. So we created the first clothing swap over the summer, and it was fantastic. It was small. We had probably like 15, 20 members show up, and we all tried on clothes. We switched, different fashion shows we created with purses and shoes. And then the rest of it, the girls all lined up the youth girls, they packed everything up at the end, and then we drove them down to the shelter downtown and gave them to the women, homeless women downtown. And that was really kind of what created the clothing swap, because especially here in Santa Monica, there was so much homeless going on, and it was just really starting to hurt my soul a little bit. And I realized that let's just give these women some professional clothes. Let's give them some purses. Let's give them some shoes. Let's give them some makeup. Let's like almost give them that fresh start, that opportunity, because as many women know, my closet's full of a lot of stuff. Even though we keep clearing things out, there's always more to let go. So that was really exciting. We had such a turnout that we just did it again. And then this time, Robbie, you know, we did it with down in Riverside, and it was hosted by our Riverside Youth Network. And I don't know, Robbie, how many members did we have? We had probably 40 bags to donate to the VA, the Women's Veteran Group at the end. But it was just a really fun day. And we've just relaunched the Zoom meetings because the girls have been asking us for them again. So the first year has really been seeing what works, what day works for everyone, what days don't work for people, and just trying to kind of find logistics. But it's been a lot of fun watching it grow and seeing the girls really blossom into being able to ask for what they need and want.
That's good. What are your plans for the youth network in the future, and how do you hope to go globally?
Well, that's the exciting thing, globally, right? You know, and I think in the midst of it, within our GSFE network, we've got some great members in London. We've got people in Canada. I know we're expanding to South Africa. I mean, it's kind of amazing how our organization is expanding. My struggle right now, I guess, is time zones. If I could run one Zoom meeting and have all the teams all over the world show up, that would be great. But I think that flexibility, expanding the network, is really what I think I am open to. You know, finding, you know, those young youth entrepreneurs, and I'm finding even younger, like the 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, they're so passionate. They're little leaders. you know, and by the time they get into high school, they're preoccupied with some other stuff. So I really am enjoying working with the younger ones. So I guess my future goal is, you know, expanding, finding these other little groups, you know, connecting with other young women who want to lead, who want to volunteer within their community. So I guess the future is really just getting more members, more youth, and then create more in-person volunteer community service opportunities, like being able to say, okay, this is the community I want to give. Okay, well then let's rally up our GSFE members and let's collect stuff, let's do stuff, let's spend our time fundraise, and how can we give back to the community? Because I really, really strongly feel that we have to teach our youth service. It's getting lost. They're so self-involved in themselves and these selfies and the social media and all of the little likes that they forget that joy and happiness comes from when you give to someone who has less than you. When you show up of service, you're filling your bucket and you're filling your future opportunities and karma or whatever it may be. It's not lost, but I just feel like a lot of times I don't see kids being inspired to go out and help others. And that's really what I want this organization to just continue giving back, give that service. I know the ask is, right, you know, how can we help?
So what is your ask for the GSFE Network? And what is it that you need help with inspiring youth and the next generation? And how can people reach you? We have about 3 minutes and 24 seconds left.
Okay, well, my ask within the GSFE Network is if you have a granddaughter, you have a daughter, you know, have them show up, reach out to me. My email is hunterarttherapy@gmail.com. You can always email me. I have a play studio in Santa Monica. Again, you can find me at huntertherapeutic.com or Hunter Therapy Family Counseling. And we can talk about it. But yeah, my ask is the more teenagers I have, the more we can spread the message because you know, there's a lot of distractions in life, and that's what I would like to get. You're more teenagers, more people coming to the youth network, because the more we have, the more power we have in numbers. And I'm open to creating directors. You know, the first round we had all these girls coming, and people stopped coming, and the ones that were consistently there, I made them a director. They're now leading their own little networks in their community. So if you know someone who wants to have those leadership skills, put some stuff on their college applications and really give back, reach out. And I'd love to kind of work with you and help create that. And then as for my ask in life, yeah, I think it would be more or less being able to create workshops for women where I'm noticing that 30, I don't know, to 50, 60, I mean, the rest of it is like, who am I in that world? So I'm kind of envisioning in the future creating workshops for vision boards. How do you inspire the next step of your life, generation? Because I think everybody gets stuck in life sometimes, and we just need a little bit of creative expression to get it out. So, yeah, I'll create them. I'll see, you know, if people are interested in stuff, I'll create whatever they like, and that's my ask. You know, reach out, what do you need, and I can help.
I'll give your email one more time, and then we're going to have to close off.
Okay, sounds great, Robbie. Yeah, it's Hunter, HUNTER, Art, ART, Therapy, TheraPoy, @gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Lauren, it's been great to have you on my show today, and the work you're doing is amazing. And I know that you're really helping these girls. So thank you so much. We are out of time. Goes very fast.
Thank you so much,
Robbie. Great information. Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much.